It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chipper here, as he always is on Mondays. It's 8 past 2. Chip, like all of our guests, John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. Let's start with the title game. Best of five series, 2-2, Lynx, Liberty. Not a lot of artistry offensively. A lot of missed shots. Sabrina Ionescu maybe should be investigated for throwing the game. She was so putrid. She was so dreadful. So where's your balance as you consume all this? How much credit do you want to give the Liberty for winning this game? How much blame do you want to assign to the Lynx? And how much do you want to talk about the officiating in a number of baffling calls, which more often than not last night did not go Minnesota's way?
Well, I think you have to talk about the officiating because I thought they ruined the game. And this is not even – we'll get to the last thing there with Stewart. But I understand the notion of letting the players to decide the game and not over-officiating a championship game, but that was absurd. The level of physicality that was in that game, I thought it ruined the product, quite honestly. I mean, it was a wrestling match. I mean, players were just pummeling each other. And to me, it got out of control and it just interfered with what should have been a great game against a couple of teams with superstar scores, and it was just hard to watch, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. The missed shot, I think, I don't know if all the missed shots were part of the defense, part of the way the game was being played, part of the game five nerves, all of that factored in, but I just thought it was way over the top in terms of letting them get away with things.
You can look back at a number of series, whether it's a five-game series or seven-game series, where the last game is a low-scoring game. Teams are so familiar with each other, and nerves are a part of it. And yes, there was good defense. There was also some dreadful offense. But on the officials, let's contrast Game 4 and Game 5. Game 4, when Carlton hits the two free throws late, the Wolves shot 15 of 20. The Liberty were 9-9. So that's plus 11 for the Lynx. Last night, the Liberty were 21 of 25, and the Lynx were 7 of 8. I think the two of us are pretty good at just objective and observing things. And yeah. I'll admit, I ended up complaining more about the officials last night than I think any game I've watched, and I cannot tell you how long. Did I feel like some calls went the Lynx way in Game 4? I did. I did. But the preponderance of calls last night, and you're so right, because they established early they were going to get out of the way, and it was too much. It just was too much. So let's get to the end, and let's just get to the sequence too, because they score six straight. Stewart misses the two free throws, which is forgotten, like because she makes two later. Yeah. She misses two again, just like she did in Game 1. And now they have the ball in their hands. And in the end, they get it to Collier. Shot clock down to, what was it, about 8 or so when she gets it. She's got space. She's on the edge of the lane. She drives down. And it's a combination of good defense and a missed layup. And again, initially, they don't show the replay, and you had a timeout. I don't know why they didn't show the replay, to be honest.
Yeah.
I then went back and watched it. There's not a great angle. I don't think it was foul. But then you do have the play that everybody's talking about. It's clear cut that Stewart takes minimum four steps. It's stunning how many. Then the call, when you've ref the game, the way you have ref the game for the totality of the game on a play, even if you haven't refed it that way, I don't think Smith fouls Stewart. To then make that call, then to look at it and offer up the words, the Kamala Harris like word salad explanation.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible.
It was, yeah, it was. That's a hard one to accept. The travel, she caught it at the 3-point line and got into the lane without dribbling.
Yes.
Which
from flat footed. I mean, it's not like she was soaring through the air, flat footed. It gets there, yeah.
And then, if you look at that contact, that would probably rank about 100th in the most violent or most extreme contact that we saw in that game. So I understand, and good for Cheryl Reeve, because this was not a one-game thing. If you talk to, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a great WNBA expert. You know, I watch enough of it to know that the officiating is not good. It's not consistent. Certainly not enough for a league that's trying to ascend and become more, have more eyeballs on them. You know, if people were checking in to the WNBA last night to see that game, the league should be embarrassed by the officiating in it. And, you know, and I hate commenting on officiating. I try to make a point not to because it's...
I'm with you.
My rule is it's a loser's lament, but on this case, it's unavoidable. And for Collier to not shoot one free throw... when she's around the basket and taking it to the basket, I mean, that's just unacceptable.
23 shots. Somebody had a good stat, too. The most shots she ever had in a game before and didn't shoot a free throw was 11. And you're right. She's in there either in the lane catching it, posting up, outside driving. She's not just a purely three-point shooter. Now, let's get to this point, too, because I think this is an enormous point that has been lost in the conversation. The Liberty were horrendous in the first half. They were terrible. And they had a bit of a flourish, I mean, a bit at the end. So what was it? It was 7 points at halftime. It should have been double. And, you know, the Lynx played well. I don't know if they play great because Enescu, who, again, just was putrid. Just, I mean, for a superstar of that caliber to play that bad, that's so rare for that to happen. And she wasn't any good in game four either. But, Chip, they missed opportunities. They should have been up at some point in the first half by 20. They were that much better, and they missed that, and that haunted them later in the game.
Yeah, Courtney Williams picked a bad time to have a really, really tough game. I mean, she was just not good. I mean, to the point where Cheryl had to take her off the court a number of times because she just – was it overtime there or there at the end where she – I think she took like three straight shots. And it's like some get the ball to Collier. Like put the ball in her hands. Felt like the wrong people were shooting. I thought McBride showed up. She played a terrific game. But when your point guard plays like that, it is really, really hard to win. I mean, what – I'm looking at a 2 of 14 shooting, 5 turnovers. It just felt like it was just a bad game for her. And so they were not able to take advantage. We talk about Enescu, but I didn't think Stewart was great either. She rebounded the ball well, but I mean, her shooting was way off too. I mean, she could make a shot. And so when you have their two superstars, a combined 5 of 34,
you have to win.
You have to win. But I'll say this, Chad, if you go back, if they don't get that call, they do win.
Yeah, and McBride was really good. I agree with you. But after the two free throws and the call, which they completely they blew it, no doubt, McBride gets space from on a switch on Jones, and she's got, 5.1, 5.2, and she just rushed
it. Too soon. Yeah, I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand. For a player, and the more I watched, the more I admired her. She's probably the player during this whole run where I watched casually during this season, I thought, man, she makes shots, and she's tough as nails, man.
Yeah.
She is tough. And it, like, Did she think there was 1 second left?
Well, that's what her reaction. I mean, the way she caught and shot it, it almost like it was like 1 second left. I mean, she had enough time to drive it in there and try to get a better shot. That was completely rushed. I don't know if she was trying to get a shot up and hope they got an offensive rebound, but she just was way too rushed there. She had more time than that shot suggested.
Yeah, and also, you can score more than 2 points in overtime.
Well, that's it. I mean, the overtime, they were terrible. I mean, the turnovers, what they have, 4 turnovers, yeah. And just they fell apart. They just, you know, they didn't regroup the way they needed to in overtime, but I'm sure their emotions were, hey, they were that close to a championship, and they felt like Cheryl said after games, they stole it from them. I'm sure that was on their mind, that they had their opportunity there. And then you open the door with that play and the Liberty come through. But even they weren't great in the overtime either.
No,
I mean, they got
the
first 5 points, but they couldn't make a shot after that. So it was just a really poorly played championship game
that I thought was
dictated by the way it was. They were allowed to just beat on each other and foul each other. And
I would say combination. Because I don't want to take the players completely off the hook. Because
No.
If you're watching that and you're thinking, wait a second, and you've missed the previous games, which at times were just brilliant play. But you just watched longer stretches last night. You had a right to say, this is the title game? Really?
Well, it is. And I thought the Liberty, particularly the first half, the pressure got to them.
Yes. That's why I'm saying the lead should have been so much bigger.
Their shots were coming up short. They were rushed. They looked nervous as can be in that first half. And that's where, if you can get past the officiating thing and say, okay, what are you going to put on the links? They didn't do enough in that first half to have a big enough lead to take advantage of the Liberty feeling the moment. And they let him hang around enough to where that happened.
Let's put Chipper on hold. It's rare when we don't start with the Vikings, especially as anticipated as the Vikings and Lions game was and as entertaining as was. But the Liberty and the Lynx, huge talker, and it was the championship last night. Has Chip's opinion changed in the Vikings off yesterday? He'll tell us when we come back off right here on CCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Chip Scoggins right back with us. Do you agree the two best teams in the NFC played yesterday at U.S. Bank? Was that your feeling before the game, and is it your feeling after the game?
I do. I think the Lions proved to me, and I think probably a lot of people, that they are really good. I think they're the best team in the NFC, the most complete team.
Yep.
Even losing Hutchinson, obviously a great player. But I think their offense is so difficult to defend that I don't say it won't matter, because that's you know, not right. But I just think they're good enough offensively that they can score a lot of points against good defenses. And Brian Flores' defense has been dictating everything this season until yesterday. And I just thought the Lions had won that matchup.
Well, that's, you know, I opened the show by saying my opinion of the Vikings changed very, very little off that game.
I agree.
And then Dave's comeback was, no, wait a second, what about the defense? And I said it's fair, because we can look at these games where they've built up huge leads and give them credit for that too, by the way. But also watch how Green Bay scored a lot and the Jets scored a lot and the 49ers came back. And then you look at four straight scores yesterday. But for me, I'm giving a lot of credit to that Lions offense. Like you said,
yes.
First of all, we were debating this. Like, Mahomes is the best quarterback. Jackson's the second best quarterback. Is it possible Jared Goff is the third best quarterback in the National Football League? Is that absurd to say that?
Well, I will say this, and it's hard because I don't ever want to take anything away from him, because I think he's terrific. But he is surrounded by
–
he's in a great situation. I mean, he has probably the best offensive line.
Yep.
They can run the ball with anybody. He's had two quality running backs in Gibbs and Montgomery.
Right.
And then a host of receivers that are good.
Great tight end. The offensive coordinator, which most people think right now is the most creative guy in football as an offensive coordinator.
But that also discredits him in the same way that when Sam Darnold was playing well earlier this season, where you say, well, this is all Kevin O'Connell, or it's Justin Jefferson, or it's whatever. I was like, well, that discredits what the player is doing too, or discounts what he's doing. And I don't do it with golf, because I think his accuracy and his ability to remain calm when the pressure is around him. How many times – there was one pass where – was it Grenard that came around the end and actually grabbed his shoulder pad?
Yes.
I can't remember who it was.
Yes.
But he reset himself and fired the ball down for like a 20-yard gain. It's like, that didn't affect him at all. And how many times was he blitzed or had pressure, and he just stood in there and went through it and threw a great pass? And so he's really calm under pressure, and it doesn't seem like he gets rattled. And I said going in, if the Vikings could not stop the run, then I didn't think they would win, and they didn't stop the run. Gibbs was dynamic. I mean, Montgomery obviously was slow, and then he had the coming off the injury, and then or getting banged up there early, and then had the fumble late. But Gibbs is, you know, such a dynamic change of pace with that Cam Bynum and poor Cam Bynum. I mean, turned him inside out in open field, which he probably does that to a lot of guys.
Yeah, right.
So they are they're really good. And here's the thing. For years, Chad, how many times do we say, just wait for the Lions to screw it up? They'll do something to screw it up in the game. And Dan Campbell tried to early. I don't know what he was. I know he's aggressive, but that just seems
foolish. I didn't mind it. I kind of – it's early in the game. I don't know.
Well, here's what I said. The Vikings have not trailed but 3 minutes all season.
And then you're giving them
the chance. Why would you put them in that position to not have to play from behind? See what they would have to do when they played from behind. Now, they came back.
Dan and I played the game, Chip. You just don't care.
That's right.
Okay, can I give you one more Goff stat, too? Because the rap on Goff, what a shock. I mean, he's not as good against the blitz, but, like, he really drops off against the blitz. Yesterday when they blitzed, 15 to 16, he was sacked one time at 165 yards. So let's get to Darnold, because Darnold's numbers were good, and he made some good throws. But if this team is going to play the Lions in the playoffs, normally if you get to past the wild card round, you get to the divisional round, those are the great quarterbacks. Okay, those are, and he has exceeded our expectations, and he had the poor six quarters, but there were plays yesterday when Jones was wide open. He threw that horrible interception to Branch. Then he's got Addison really open on the 3rd and 7. It was a bit of confusion when Addison and Jefferson are lined up, but he's got Jefferson. It's just, it's that small amount. And I do wonder, if this year keeps going very well for them, if in that small amount he can be that good if they're playing a great team?
Well, yeah, and when you're playing the Lions, there is no really margin for error the way they are playing right now. And you go back to, okay, week two, moment of truth, he makes that seam route pass up the middle, or up that seam to Naylor. Great pass, had to have it. Green Bay, after that game got close, he makes the great passes to Justin Jefferson. Well, yesterday, when they had to have that third down to keep the ball, was it third and four, he overthrows Jefferson, and that's the difference. Like, those first two games or those other games, that critical throw, and they won the game. Yesterday, he was off, and they don't win it. And, it's tough to put that all on the quarterback, but guess what? That's what you look at when you play that position. And so, you're right. His numbers are really good, but, like, that critical throw that they needed him to complete, he missed on it yesterday. And so does that shake your confidence in him? I don't think so. I mean, you'd like to see him complete it, but when you get in the playoffs, like you mentioned, and you're playing great teams all the time, you're going to need him to make those clutch throws. And so you'd hope that he's going to be able to, more times than not, complete those.
We've talked, I bet, three times since the season started about O'Connell and aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just his big mantra. So when they get the ball back, when they stop him, and they're ahead 29-28, they go Jones for four, they go Jones for two, and then that throw we were talking about where, laid it out. What did you think about how he approached that, considering how he's throwing the ball more? It's, Jones is really good. He gets four. I mean, that's pretty intoxicating to get four. But what did you think? Just that situation and judging O'Connell all year.
I didn't mind it because you're in your four-minute offense there, right? So you want to be able to run the ball to chew some clock. And Jones was at about 6 yards a carry, 6.5 yards a carry yesterday, and he had some big ones. So I don't mind trying to pick it up on the ground if you can. The pass, you need to be able to complete that, right? I mean, if you complete that, the game's probably over because then they're down to, 2 minutes, and had they taken two timeouts at that time? No, they saved him. But you're probably going to still win the game there because you need one more first down. But I don't mind running Jones because he was having some success against him. And so it didn't necessarily bother me there because we've seen
I'm with you.
Throwing the ball there. But when you have Jones and he's getting positive yards and he's getting 6 yards, I was just watching before I came on here. I was watching the press conference Jones had after the game because I wasn't there. But he was saying, hey, that's on me. As a running back, when you're in four-man offense, you've got to move the chain. So I like that he took that responsibility. And so I didn't really necessarily have a problem with the play call.
I didn't either, but I felt like as we've talked about it so much, it was worth revisiting because, 4:20, you force them to use those two timeouts, you get two first downs, it's ballgame. All right, brother, great stuff. Talk to you next week.
All right, brother, we'll see you.
Chip Scoggins, politics and religion. With Reed Forgrave when we come back on CCO. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.